This is DW News live from Berlin. More Ukrainian fighters leave the Azov-style steel plant in Mariupol under Russian guard. Moscow says more than 1,700 have surrendered, but there's been no independent confirmation of where they've been taken. Kyiv hasn't commented on how many are still there. Also on the program, the US president offers his full support for Finland and Sweden's NATO bids.
They meet every NATO requirement, and then some.
The Nordic countries race to join the alliance as Russia wages war on Ukraine, but Turkey seems set to derail their plans. Plus, a DW exclusive investigation asks, is Europe helping modernize China's army? We join a team of investigative journalists who've uncovered links between European academia and Chinese universities that are fostering a fusion between the military and civil society. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. Hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers are facing an uncertain future after surrendering to Russian forces in the port of Mariupol. Moscow says most have been sent to a prison camp in Russia-controlled territory in eastern Ukraine. Kyiv hopes to get the soldiers back in a prisoner swap, but Moscow has threatened to put some of them on trial.
Soldiers surrender to an unknown fate. This footage, released by the Russian Defense Ministry, shows Ukrainian soldiers laying down their arms after weeks under siege at the Azovstal steel plant. Of the 1,700 soldiers Russia says have surrendered this week, over 700 did so in the past 24 hours. Amid international concern about their fate in Russian hands, the International Red Cross has registered hundreds of these soldiers as prisoners of war. Moscow has also released footage of what it says are surrendered Azovstal fighters, reporting on how they've been treated.
I didn't really know what to expect. Considering what we would have liked and what we've got, it turns out to be better than we expected. I am now in a hospital in the city of Novoazovsk. I'm being treated well. Nobody is mistreating me physically or psychologically. The treatment is good.
The government in Kyiv is hoping to exchange the soldiers for captured Russian troops. But pro-Russian authorities in Ukraine's east have suggested that some could be put on trial. While in Moscow, hardline lawmakers are demanding that captured Ukrainians face the wrath of Russian justice. All of which means that the fate of the Azovstal soldiers remains far from certain.
Let's join DW correspondent Matthias Bullinger in Kharkiv. Welcome, Matthias. How are people reacting to news of the soldiers we saw in that report?
People are obviously worried about them. They have been following this very closely. It was very emotional. These people have defended Mariupol for a very long time, and that has also had an impact on the overall war. So many people here see them as heroes. And of course, the fact that they are now in Russian hands and the fact that nobody knows whether this prisoner swap will ever happen, that the two sides seem to have talked about, of course, has people worried.
And so what's the latest on the fighting around the country?
Well, fighting is intensifying in the Donbas region, especially around the city of Severodonetsk. That's probably the next big, the next city that is suffering on a very large scale. It's being shelled. The Russian troops are on the border, pretty much like in Kharkiv, where I am now, which has been shelled for two months, and almost like Mariupol, although it's not completely surrounded, but it's been shelled from these three sides. So that's the people there are suffering a lot, and this is probably the next most decisive battle here.
Right, and where you are there in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, what's going on there?
Well, Kharkiv is a little bit coming back to life because the Russian troops have been driven away. However, fighting is still going on outside of the city, just a little further from the city, so the city is not being shelled as much as before. But of course, like in every city in Ukraine, rockets can still hit. People are carefully coming out of the shelters, especially in these northern districts that have been shelled during the whole time. And some people don't trust it. We were today at a subway station, and many people told us they don't want to come out yet. They're still afraid that something might hit.
All right. Matthias Bullinger in Kharkiv, thank you. Now, US President Joe Biden has given his full support to Sweden and Finland's applications to join NATO. The Nordic countries made their formal applications on Wednesday in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Turkey has blocked the start of accession talks in the NATO Council, accusing the two countries of harboring Kurdish terrorists. Meeting the two countries' leaders at the White House today, President Biden threw his weight behind their application.
Sweden and Finland have strong democratic institutions, strong militaries, and strong and transparent economies, and a strong moral sense of what is right. They meet every NATO requirement, and then some. And having two new NATO members in the high north will enhance the security of our alliance and deepen our security cooperation across the board.
Well, let's take a closer look at NATO's latest potential enlargement with Hannah Smith. She's Director of Research and Analysis at the European Centre of Excellence for Countering Hybrid Threats. She joins us from the Finnish capital. Welcome to DW. Will Turkey's opposition to these applications be overcome?
I believe so. It might delay a little bit, the whole process, and it is kind of an understandable one of those things that belongs to this process that already NATO members are always testing perhaps the newcomers, but I believe that this will be overcome.
How? What will Turkey receive in order to remove its objection?
Well, that's perhaps a little bit early to say, because both the Finnish president and from the Swedish side and even from the US side, they've said that we take the matter very kind of practically, calmly. We look at the list, we start discussing it and go kind of on factual basis forward to it. So I think that it is a... The process needs to be there, and the diplomatic means are the ways to go forward.
Normally, it takes years for countries to join NATO. How long do you expect the process to take this time for Sweden and Finland?
Probably till end of this year.
And why so quickly?
Well, perhaps NATO has been practicing already, taking new members. They also have learned that perhaps countries like Finland and Sweden might, in fact, strengthen the alliance in the end. This might be a good idea. And also the fact that there is a certain, perhaps, reason to think about it, the fact that these processes could be a little bit longer so that there isn't that kind of a grey zone situation or time for too long.
Nobody saw the Turkish objections coming. Are there likely to be other countries who harbour doubts about this latest expansion?
Well, it is in the way that perhaps nobody saw it coming, but to be honest, perhaps the Turkish president who makes the decisions and the policies had not said anything about it. So, in principle, in fact, Turkey is still saying what it has all the time said, that it supports this, but that it wants to go through this negotiation process. It is possible that there is someone else, but so far, no one else has come forward, so perhaps Turkey is the only one.
OK. Russia says it sees this NATO expansion as a threat. Are Finland and Sweden expecting and indeed perhaps preparing for retaliation of some sort?
Well, at least from the Finnish perspective, I have to say that we are always prepared for anything that might come over the border from the east. So in that way, the situation is not too new. Obviously, the war in Ukraine has changed a lot, and the understanding that Russia is ready to use military beyond its borders to its neighbors, etc., has kind of changed a little bit, this thing. So it is clear that Russia has several times said that it's going to make its own threat assessment and then it will react. How exactly? Is it military means or political means? Sakharova, the spokesperson for Kremlin, said they let the military to decide. So it remains to be seen, but we are prepared. And knowing a little bit of Russia, something will come.
Thank you for that. Hannah Smith from the European Centre for Excellence for Countering Hybrid Threats.
Thank you.
Well, the UN is warning that Russia's blockade of Ukrainian grain is fueling a global food crisis that could last for years. Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the war in Ukraine and other crises threatens tens of millions of people with food shortages, malnutrition, mass hunger and famine. He added that he's in intense contact with Russia and Ukraine over efforts to restore the export of grain from the region. Well, with Russian blockades threatening to jeopardize those food supplies for millions around the world, alternative routes are becoming increasingly important. The Romanian port of Constanza is a vital hub for grain shipments. DW's Jack Parrock reports on the challenges it's facing.
This Ukrainian corn would never have been here at the port of Constanza before Russia's invasion. It would have been shipped out of the now closed port of Odessa, 250 kilometres up the Black Sea coast. It's good for business for the operators here, but there are concerns about capacity.
The next 3 weeks, the Romanian crop will start to come in the port of Constanza. We are confident that we can manage also the Romanian quantity and the Ukrainian quantity of grains. We can manage to send them to the ship. But of course, we cannot stop Romanian harvest for the Ukrainian corn.
Once this vessel leaves port, 210,000 tons of Ukrainian corn will have been shipped out since the start of April. But that's just 1% of the 20 million tons of grain that needs to be shifted in the next 3 months before these Ukrainian fields are harvested to avoid major bottlenecks which could cause it to rot.
Pretty much all of the corn that's coming into the port of Constanza is from Ukraine at the moment. This boat is headed from here, though, to Rotterdam.
But many of the vessels go to North Africa and the Middle East, and there are real fears of an increase in food shortages and famine if supply bottlenecks arise. The port authority says it's doing everything it can.
We don't have other choice. What if I screaming and I hear everywhere? It's very easy to scream. I cannot do nothing. It's okay. It's hard time. Everybody, this is a special situation, and everybody must accommodate with this situation and find solution.
Constanza port has another problem, though. 700 of these wagons lay rusting on the port's underused train lines, held in judicial limbo following legal battles between state and private entities. The country's transport minister says a new 40 million euro project will renovate 95 Romanian train lines before the end of the year, partly to make switching wheels to accommodate trains arriving from the east, which use wider tracks.
For 30 or 40 years, these tracks were abandoned. So now we invest in Galați in order to modernize this line, the Soviet type of lines, and to come directly in the harbour.
This really is a graveyard of these old cargo carriages right now. We're a few hundred metres away from the port of Constanza. And the plan is that this won't only support with the Ukrainian shipments that are coming in, but also that it will help rejuvenate this area for the future.
But in the short term, Europe's approaching summer will only mean more grains coming in. And with no end to the war in sight, pressure on the infrastructure here in Constanza is only set to pile on.
Now, let me take you back to our top story. Russia says 1,700 Ukrainian fighters have now surrendered at the Azovstal steel plant in Mariupol. Moscow says most have been taken to a prison colony in Russia-controlled territory, while the injured are in hospital. Now, these images come from Russia's defense ministry. The International Red Cross says it has registered hundreds of prisoners of war from the steel plant, including wounded fighters. Let's get a reaction from this latest news from Andrei Ozadchuk, who's a Ukrainian MP from the opposition Holos Party. He joins us from Kyiv. Welcome to DW. How concerned are you about those troops taken from Mariupol?
I think we shall be focused on just several things for everyone who is watching